When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And I just came out of the rabbit hole of character creation today. Oh boy, working all day today on a, I don't want to call it a pitch. It's more of a treatment, I guess, for this freelance job that I was talking about in the last Thunder Punch Daily. And I don't even know where to start. And I don't want to spend the bulk of this one talking about that because there'll be more to talk about later on it. I got the team of heroes designed, but the bulk of the work was in figuring out the relationships and the personalities of everybody and figuring out a balance of all the different personalities, which I am sure is fodder for future art and stories, comics are great episodes, Thunder Punch Dailies, because I think that this is a topic that will never run out of steam. There's so many ways to go at it, and there's so many new challenges that you face when you start a new project. No matter how tuned you think you are, that doesn't save you from the inevitable pacing around the desk as you're thinking things through. And I posted on Twitter, I think yesterday, I think it's called the animating for Thursday or the Thursday animator syndrome, where there was, I think they talked about this on Getomation or maybe Man versus Art, this concept of thinking through the scenes and working it all out in your mind all week, not actually drawing anything until Thursday. That's really what this week was for me. I spent a lot of time really hashing over a trillion different character ideas until I landed on a group of seven or eight people who I think I'd like to write stories about. So now I got to do the villains. Heroes are designed. The general concept is designed. Now I got to come up with a team of thrilling villains for these heroes to be pitted against. But I'll go into that later. What I want to talk about today is something that was addressed in the Art and Story Forum at artandstorypodcast.com. Why I say the web address for the Supreme content, I don't know. But Robert L. May, RLMAY3 in the forums, posted an interesting question about inking with the crow quill. And it serves to remind me that no matter how many videos we do, I mean, we don't have that many yet because we've only been doing this Supreme stuff for a little bit of time. And we've got a few videos on the Art and Story video site, which is at cbcomics.com/video. But it reminds me that I don't think you can do enough of these kinds of videos of the process of using these tools because somebody who's coming at it fresh and new, it can be quite frustrating and daunting to take on, especially tools like the crow quill and the brush, which, I mean, speaking from my own experience, they seemed like archaic and strange tools. Why would you use these? They're so difficult. Why would you struggle with these things? And, you know, going back to some old art and stories, we talked about this. We did like a two-parter about different inking tools and why we use them. And I've said repeatedly that my favorite inking tool is the crow quill. But it took me a couple years to really figure out how to use it. I mean, a couple years of using it a lot. I'm not just talking about like taking like an hour a week to practice with it. I mean, I dove in and just started. The first project I ever did was PPV. For Antarctic Press, which I believe is still online if you haven't read it. And I'll include it in the show notes if the link exists still. If not, I really need to put it online on my own site. But anyway, when I dove into PPV, I realized that I wanted to get lines like some of my favorite artists who I knew were using crow quills. So I just started doing it. And you know what? Roger Langridge of HotelFred.com posted in that forum thread that there's really nobody uses the tool the same way, and the hardest part is just getting over the fact of I'll just quote his words, resign yourself to an acclimation period. What did he say? Acclimatization period. I don't know if he's being cute or if that's just a different way of saying it. Thanks, Roger. But yeah, he's absolutely right. I mean, the first like 20, 30, 100 drawings you do with the crow quill are not going to be what you want. And at least for me, I found myself drawing very, very slowly to try to learn how to control this thing. And the and I want a second, third, fourth, and underline what he said with red marker. The technical tip of using a brush or a crow quill is learning to draw by dragging the tool. The thing I say in a lot of my classes when I'm teaching how to use the crow quill is think of that point on the crow quill as an arrow, and you're always pulling in the opposite direction of where that arrow is pointing. So that means you can hold your arm and wrist in virtually any position that you want to, hold the pen any way that you want to, but just remember, you can't push it forward, and it takes some time and skill to learn how to drag it side to side. So to start out, to get acclimated to the tool, it's a good idea to always think of it as dragging away from that point. Now, another tip that I would throw in, just from my own experience, and remember, this is just my experience. What works for me doesn't necessarily work for you, after all, is when I was first doing it, I was locking my wrist. You know, a lot of us draw with our wrists. We tend to rest our arm on the desk and move our, you know, rotate our wrist around to get different kinds of lines. But with the crow quill, in order to fully get under the hood of it and understand how to control it, for the first, I don't know how many pages, dozens and dozens of pages. And I'm talking full comics pages, 11 by 17, six panels a page, you know, so there's a lot of drawings that I did. I would lock my wrist and use my entire arm to drag the pen. Now, this gave me a higher degree of control when I was doing a lot of these wide contours that I like to do in my work. And if that's the kind of thing you're shooting for, I'd recommend starting out that way. Train yourself to do that. And then as you learn the pressure sensitivity of the crow quill, you will learn how to jerk it left and right to get little feathery lines that you want to get, or to get like short little jaggedy feathered lines. I mean, it all depends on what kind of style you're going for too, right? So there's my inking style, and there's Mark's inking style. And then you look at Kim Holmes' stuff where it's almost savage, and it's wonderfully loose and fluid. I think that's the number one reason to work with things like the crow quill and the brush, is the overall versatility. Yes, there is a learning curve. Yes, there is a it's frustrating to learn how to use this old-timey tool, but the reason a lot of us artists love them so much is because they're so freaking versatile, not even just in terms of line value, in terms of line thickness, but in terms of line quality. Like the different, you can do like a quivery kind of neurotic wiggly line, or you could do a beautifully smooth, confident contour line. So, I would recommend just trying to lock the wrist. Also, get used to, if you don't already, turn the paper around a lot. I think in one of the earlier videos that I posted, where I was, I think there was, it was a couple months ago, go back into the archives, the video archives, and on the Supreme section of the site, and there's a tutorial of me, or demonstration of me inking a commission for Jamie Gamble, one of his characters for the Omnitarium book. And in that, you'll see me turn the page around and around and around and around. I think Mark does the exact same thing when he inks as well. This achieves two purposes. One, it means that you don't have to change your arm positioning too much, because as I just said, and as Roger said, you have to drag the pen. But also it gives you an opportunity to let the ink dry while you're working. This is a big one that you don't have to deal with felt tip pens, or even when you're working just in pencil. I mean, yeah, smudging is a problem, but not nearly as bad as when you're inking with a crow quill. The ink doesn't dry very fast, depending on the ink that you use. I mean, I use Higgins Black Magic. I know Sarah Turner, Knife Man of Cricut-Press.com, she's a big fan of the Speedball Super Black. I find that to be a little too viscous for the crow quill. It's a little thick. And then also, you know, some people say that, like, oh, you should bend the tines a lot. The tines are the two little halves of the tip of the pen. You should, like, really work them out to get some flexibility on the pen when you first start out. I don't really do that a whole lot for my purposes. What I like to do is I just keep two different crow quills in rotation. I keep a newer one for doing very, very thin lines. And then my older one that has been more broken in, where the tines have become very flexible. I use that for a lot of my outer contours and thicker lines, because it's a little easier to do that. And the tip is a little bit more, believe it or not, those tips actually get worn down, and it gets a lot harder to do fine lines with them. So you just keep two in rotation, then you don't have to work one in. Because I'm finding that the crow quills are actually getting a little bit less of a shelf life than they used to for me. Either that, or I'm working the pens a lot harder than I used to. Some people are going to say clean them a lot. You know, make sure you wipe it off when you're done. I try to do that, but I also let ink cake up on my crow quills, and I haven't noticed any kind of degradation in drawing quality based on that. But the other technical tip is do take care to keep your inkwell someplace where your arm is not going to go, preferably in a separate part of your desk, because you will knock it over. I mean, that's advice that's in actually a great book to study some inking techniques is in the DC Comics Guide to Inking by Klaus Janson. He talks about that. He says, you will knock it over. And fortunately, I haven't done it often, but it has happened to me. So, you know, you're playing the odds. Is that the right way to say it? You're playing with chance. You're playing Russian roulette with your page if you keep the inkwell like right next to your artwork. So try not to do that. But otherwise, yeah, the only thing I can offer is sympathy, because it's going to be tough to learn, but it's worth it. And there is a threshold where it's going to suddenly unlock for you and it'll start to make sense. And you're going to absolutely fall head over heels in love with it, and you won't want to go back to anything else after that. So I hope that helps to assist you in this. But you know what? Like I said, this is a reminder to me that we need to do more videos of how we do this, like close-ups of how the pen is held. And if nothing else, it'll just give you another way of looking at the tool, because you'll probably find your own way of holding it. I mean, for crying out loud, do a search for Eric Larson inking. And just look at a picture of the way he holds the crow quill, because he works a lot with crow quill, but he holds the pen in a bizarre fashion. And it's a wonderful piece of evidence to show that nobody does it the same way. And you should feel free to discover your relation. That sounds so dumb, but discover your relationship with the pen, you know, the way you hold it and the way it works best for you. And that's, I guess, another example of how art is a personal exploration, personal discovery thing, and all we can do is talk about it from our side of the Zen garden. Now I feel silly. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We literally could not do this without you, so it means the world to us that you guys have are backing us on this and continue to back us on this. Thanks a lot, guys. It's great. Makes you feel really good. It certainly helps me get through those dark times of artistic despair that we all face. So you guys are helping me in a big, big, profound, substantial way. Thank you. Okay, I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
Today we learned about the value of trying, even when the odds are against you. Sometimes when people around us aren't playing by the rules or the job seems too big, it's easy to become discouraged. That's when you really have to stick with it and keep trying, because that's how winners are born. So whether you're playing a game or doing your schoolwork, no matter how far behind you think you are, don't give up. Remember, you can't win if you don't try. See you next time.